Blog Talk Radio.
This is Those Guys with your host, Matt Marrero, along with...
Daniel Bryan's neck is hurt.
Oh, great. Okay, so yeah, I was basically going to tell everyone... Thank you, Mr. Ram. I was going to tell everyone that we were going to... Usually we start with the main event and then work our way, you know, around the big events and kind of just go over Raw itself, but, you know, from the ground up. But we'll talk about that. Daniel Bryan's neck is hurt.
Yeah, that's kind of the main thing from tonight, no matter what we want to take from
no matter what
show.
The main event was. Yeah.
Right. It just, Daniel Bryan's neck is, so from what we've heard, this is real, you know, his neck is hurt because, excuse me, rumors were circulating a couple hours before the show about Bryan having a recurring neck injury and it being aggravated recently so badly that he is going to need neck surgery. Now, we don't know the extent of the surgery, like how bad it's going to be and this kind of stuff.
Right.
But, dude, it's neck surgery. I mean, of course we're all kind of scared, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, no, I think the saddest thing, other than the fact that it's surgery and it's taking him away, is that the WWE, obviously we've complained about their booking decisions week after week, but they've started to do do some pretty cool things, I think, with the content of the matches and having guys like Daniel Bryan just, you know, be there and do their thing. And now this happens. And I'm really worried that they won't take the right message from this because if anyone's heard this podcast, they'll hear me scream over and over and over again, hi, brand split, you know? Split the brands up and we'll have people doing, quote-unquote, half as much work. I'm really scared that that's not the message they're going to take. They're going to take, wow, I guess we really backed the wrong guy, huh? Wow, I guess we really shouldn't have gotten someone who was really good at what they were doing and who was able to achieve more. Wow, let's get more, quote-unquote, safe people who are actually relatively boring.
Yes, yeah, here's the thing, too, and I know that this is going to sound like we're jumping the gun here, but, you know, forgive us because WWE is known for jumping the gun and being very much like I described, I think, either 2 weeks ago or last week where I said, you know, it's the young kid who it's the shiny new toys.
Yes,
you know, their attention span is that of that, that kid. When you look at it with Daniel Bryan now, him being hurt, when Steph was talking before they did that stupid stretcher thing, because to me that was stupid, I'm sorry, because he's already going to be out. And you want us to believe that his neck injury is real, right? Because it is. And then you have Kane dragging him out and doing a stretcher job. It's like, did Kane kick his ass? It's like, that could break his neck and he could die. That wasn't...
Here's the thing. You're trying to... You see, the thing is I was okay with that because, okay, I sadly, for personal reasons, you know, we'll bring it up later, I was unable to, you know, frequent certain websites before the show, let's say like Cage Side Seats, which is a site that I really enjoy. So I didn't know that his neck injury was real. I believe that they were just trying, even though it would be a stupid thing to do, I assume they were using that old angle where it's just, I'm in pain. Yes.
Didn't you hear something different in his voice, though? Like, couldn't you tell that something was off tonight?
That's what scared me. I was frightened.
I thought, okay, something's a little bit weird here. Like, something doesn't, like, Daniel sounds either uninterested or worried, you know? And then Maddie, who, you know, our fact checker, who constantly is usually talking to me throughout the show, shot me a text like, this started out like the beginning of Edge's thing.
Yeah. Or even John Cena's. I think for some reason it really brought me to John Cena because of the fact that, you know, it's just when he had his actual saying, oh, hey, you know, I'm going to leave for a while, there was, you know, the tone in his voice and how he worded it and, you know, and what he was saying sounded like, yes, like it was one of those, okay, I'm leaving for a while, guys. And it did unnerve me.
Yeah, so I knew you picked up on that. And I guess supposedly... the idea is that there is a potential, like, return of his for Payback on June 1st in Chicago.
Right.
And that's why they haven't stripped him of the titles yet. And not being a doctor here, my opinion is strip him of the titles, please, and let the man live. Because if you're having neck surgery on Thursday, May, I'm going to say 15th, right?
Right.
May 15th? May 15th.
Right.
And June 1st... is not even 3 weeks from that date. I don't care how minor or major your procedure is doing on someone's neck. They should not be put at any kind of physical risk within 3 weeks of that surgery.
Of course, of course. And I also feel as if, well, I mean, I assume that then because now that we know that he is coming back for payback, regardless of what we feel, that obviously is why Kane defeated.
Well, he might not be. You know,
or he might not.
I would hope that next week they rescind it.
I would hope so, too.
They take his titles. And
yeah,
God,
I mean,
it pains me to say that. It really pains me to say that.
Honestly, no, it doesn't. It doesn't pain me, if only because, you see, I think it's because of my own personal loss of time. When you said June 1st, it really hit me hard until I looked at the calendar. That's really soon. Give it another month. Give it till the pay-per-view after payback. How about we do that? How about we? Because the thing is that all we need is to have the McMahons, you know, I mean, Stephanie said already, you know, what she said. That's already there. So I think hopefully next week they're taking it to the next level and strip the titles from him. And, I mean, and he just accepts because obviously he won't be on top. It would make him look, anyone who wouldn't like that segment is already someone who, in my opinion, isn't a Daniel Bryan supporter anyway. You know, who kind of believes into the hype, you know, that McMahon hype. And, yes, those people do exist. You know, those people would be the ones saying, oh, well, then he actually is weak. Oh, well, he actually had to lose the, you know, oh, he's accepting it. But, no, but if you actually, you know, you are a fan of the guy, it would just feel better if he just, you know, maybe has, his, like, a, you know, a Skype or some kind of video chat, you know, during maybe that segment where Steph says, oh, we're taking the titles. And he says, okay. But when I come back, I'll get them back. And he
I anticipate that because that's what you want. And Daniel Bryan, to his credit, is infinitely more interesting when he is chasing the titles. You know, I will say that much.
Completely, yeah.
Because he is that kind of underdog where we will just we'll buy into his fight every time. And it makes more sense for him, being the guy that he is with his story, his physical build, to be the underdog. Go ahead.
I would like to add, sorry to interrupt. I do feel as if, you know, and this sounds really strange and really morbid, this may have been the better choice than actually fighting Kane. You know, actually having a... Because if you notice the way the build-ups have been, not even lately, just the way they are currently, because they've always been this way a bit, but maybe back in the day we could say that they were just more interesting with more interesting characters. Now the build-ups, they're spread out. They want more longevity in their storylines, but we don't care. So, honestly, I think this may be the better choice rather than having, you know, Kane versus Daniel Bryan for three straight pay-per-views in a row.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't announced what this match would have been. I mean, we would have found out tonight if it was going to be, as rumored, like a Buried Alive match or something
right.
like that.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, if you're going to argue that this could be a blessing in disguise, yeah, in a weird way, I see where you're coming from. I guess I just kind of cringe because... A neck injury to me isn't like quad tear, you know?
No.
Where I worry about what's going to happen to Daniel when he comes back, because even if he, you know, successful surgery, which we all hope, of course, you know, here at those guys, he comes back as strong, there's going to be a fear for us, you know?
Because this is
a reckless kind of guy, and we love him.
I mean, and that's why you know, I said this before, and I'll say it again, and I'll repeat it again later on tonight when it's also worth it. I'll say it right now. What I was going to say is, if you've noticed tonight was very slow in some of the matches, and I think that they might be thinking, we're working the guys too hard. Let's not work them as hard, right? Which is obvious. That's a smart way to think. But then you realize, you're not working them as hard when. You're still putting them in matches anyway? I mean, I know people are going to really hate me for saying brand split over and over and over again, but I have to keep on putting it out there when you're going to have, which, by the way, it's going to be a great main event tomorrow, but you're going to have Sheamus, who just fought two guys, fight Cesaro tomorrow.
Yeah, you'll have my commentary on that and when we talk about that match segment thing, by the way. But, on that topic of your brand split, which is relevant tonight, because I know that you mentioned you didn't get to check out Cage Side today. One of the things that came up today was the schedule for the European tour.
Yes.
Okay, and I assume that you haven't heard much about what the European tour is going to look like.
Well, actually, I have heard about the Wade Barrett versus Sheamus for the possible unification of
the
titles.
No, not the matches.
Not
just
oh,
the
okay.
physical
right.
schedule.
Right, right, okay.
And I'm going to tell you about the physical schedule because
yeah.
it will make you cringe the way it made
okay.
me cringe.
Okay.
Right, so I'm going to go ahead and basically, Maddie's got a good quote here that basically sums it up. They get about 2 days off over a three-week span.
Hmm.
And here's how it goes. So after taping Raw tonight, which they just did, about half the roster hits the terminal to fly to the UK to start the United Tour, the United Kingdom
yeah.
Tour in Europe. Let me calm down. So after SmackDown gets filmed tomorrow night, basically the rest of the roster is going to fly to Europe to, I think, in Italy? Yes, in Italy,
mm-hmm.
to go ahead and start this full European tour. So everyone's going to be in Italy basically by, let's say, Wednesday.
Right.
Now, here's the full schedule. After today, you know, and SmackDown tomorrow. May 14th to the 18th, there's a live event on each one of those days.
And
they get split into two groups, one led by John Cena, basically, and one led by Daniel Bryan.
Okay.
That, of course, there may be some changes along the lines because
right.
of that,
right.
as of what we've heard. But originally, this
right.
was the plan. Daniel Bryan's group. So let's say this was, and the groups mix up, but one of them here, Bryan, Randy Orton, The Shield, Kane, Big E, Mark Henry, Badness, Barrett, and then the flip side, you have like Cena, Sheamus, Wyatt Family, ADR, Big Show, etc. But, so they've got the five live events there. The other group has events from the 15th to the 18th, all live. The 19th is Raw. The 20th is SmackDown, both in England. The
right.
20th to the 24th, live events for the other group. The 21st to the 24th, also live events.
Yes.
And then they fly back after having live, both groups have live events on May 24th. They fly back for Raw in Knoxville, Tennessee on the 26th, 2 days later. And it's 14 shows, basically, across 16 days and two continents.
So, you know, that's great for their personal health.
And it's relevant doubly because you just brought up, you know, yeah, brand split and the fact that these guys need time off. And, you know, the Bryan neck injury, which we're not going to harp on all night, but it's a big thing because, hey, the top star of the company just went down with a neck injury.
Yeah.
God, I mean, it stresses me out so much because, look, it's right in front of us, Matt. You know,
schedule
is terrible.
It not only is it, and the thing is honestly, I have to say, I wouldn't have complained about the event schedule if we wouldn't have had a brand split. I know, again, you know, everyone's laughing, but it's because of the fact that if you had split up the work already, this would have just been a hell week. You know, just like how you have hell week, you know, with theater, as, you know, your rehearsal week.
That's
right before.
We've got
exactly.
finals week in school. We've got one,
exactly,
you know, those,
exactly.
that
yeah, yeah.
time where it's really rough.
No.
Right, but no, it
yeah.
isn't this. This is on top of
finals
the normal
year.
Hellacious schedule.
Yeah.
It's another, like, it's like pushing them over the limit. It's like breaking the fatigue factor in GM mode.
Which we have a lot of funny stories related to that, but they can't come into play right now.
Apparently beating John Cena in every match
okay.
on a card
so I would
in
like
GM
to,
mode.
I would like to explain to people. GM mode was something, if you ever played SmackDown versus Raw, if you're maybe a
2006.
WWE. Yes, 2006, 2007, and it sadly died in 2008. But, yes, if you didn't play those games because, you know, you might just be a WWE 2K14 person, I don't know. It's okay. But back then, they had something called GM mode where you could take the role of the general manager and, you know, you could either draft people onto your show or you can pick the pre-made card and you can set up matches and everything. Just for fun, one day, I may have set up John Cena in every single match. And when you – no, but here's the thing. And when you when you're done with that week, they'll have like a WWE.com, you know, page where it's like, oh, hey, look at this superstar here, look at this superstar there. So obviously, John Cena lost every match. He may have won one. He lost every match.
I think
he won
the leadoff match and then lost the rest.
Lost every
purely
yes.
based
and
off fatigue.
Yes, because yes, you can get fatigue in your characters can get injuries.
Yeah. They weren't regular matches, by the way. I should attest. Like,
that
wasn't putting them all in singles matches. It was like handicapped, buried alive.
Right.
Shit.
Right.
I mean, he was not playing because he was bored.
Right. Right. But here's the thing. Here's the funny thing, right? You might think, oh, they're laughing after this Daniel Bryan thing. This is a video game. You know, that's the difference. I believe the people who are running WWE right now should probably play that video game and see how fatigue works. Because when you do that to someone, they're going to be pretty tired. Thankfully, he was John Cena, so he actually didn't get injured somehow. But I would like to argue.
But he did
go
on
a
horrible losing streak.
Yes, the WWE page, the WWE.com page is like, John Cena on a losing streak? I just don't think he can get back what he used to have.
See, that's how you know it was a video game. But here's the real irony / just general overarching humor in this.
Right, right.
You're trying to prove a point to WWE.
Yeah.
By using a game that they created.
Yeah.
I want that to sink in. Their own logic has somehow, through osmosis, faded. Like,
yeah.
It's gone. It's gone now. Where, from a position of high to low, when we had a brand split, now it's gone. It's gone. It's just gone. Out the window. Flying. Like my hopes and dreams. It's just, they're out there.
Paige was on tonight. But
there were two Divas matches tonight. But
But we have ourselves a caller. I would like to put him or her on. All right, wait 1 second. And hello, caller.
Delta Alpha November India Echo Lima Daniel.
Okay, that was a good one.
That was pretty good, Danny.
That was actually good. All right, so this is Danny. If anyone doesn't know, hello, Danny.
Hey,
Danny, what did you like about?
Why are we starting with Delta?
Danny, what was your favorite match or segment of tonight?
Okay, apparently I missed this, but Alicia Fox had a freak out.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you may have walked to the bathroom, but sadly you shouldn't have. Because these matches are getting a lot better with these divas, and they're actually treating them like they matter. And Alicia Fox has something called character now. So she
She has personality now. She caught a promo on NXT, and she caught a promo tonight.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's great.
Apparently, she quit on the WWE app.
Really? That's actually very interesting. I would like to see where that goes. What I think is funny is that I see Total Divas. It's been a while. I haven't seen the last 3 weeks worth, but I do watch Total Divas, right, with the lady. And Alicia Fox is actually a very funny kind of she's kind of this mean character, but like she's just very sarcastic. And I was wondering when is this going to play into, when is there going to be a personality shown on the show, on the actual wrestling show.
Yes.
And here we are. I mean, thank you for bringing that up first, because, we're going to get to it eventually. But, Paige matched tonight. She wasn't on Superstars like last week. That's why she was missing last week. Paige was on tonight. And, she beat up Alicia, and Alicia took JBL's hat.
She threw a temper tantrum.
Oh, yeah.
Which was entertaining.
It really was. I mean, people in the front row got splashed.
Threw his soda and then just paraded off with his hat. And it was just, it's refreshing to see them get some character. And then, shockingly, a second Divas match in a night. I mean, that's really good.
That was also story progression, by the way.
Yeah, from Total Divas. But, I'll take it. I will take it.
Actually, I think that's needed. Because if you're going to have that show, why are you going to be separate? That's stupid.
Great point.
Yes. But, so Danny, anything else that you actually enjoyed that you did get to see?
The Shield is just...
Yes.
I like the fact that they finally went a little extreme, and I got to see Fandango get head drive. What's Dean's finishing move?
What is Dean's finishing move? I know it's a good move.
It's called Dirty Deeds to him.
Oh, Dirty Deeds?
Lying to you.
I enjoyed them taking out the chairs, because I thought the ending was going to be very monotonous, as it has been, with little tiny changes here or there. But no, it was actually a pretty big change once they brought out the chairs and started beating the hell out of everyone. That was nice. It was pretty nice. Also, I like the announcers throwing out that little, because I didn't see Stephanie McMahon. It was too quick. So those announcers saying, oh, yeah, Stephanie McMahon's up there sending in these guys, as if it wasn't so random, as if these guys came out again like, hey, so let's fight them. Let's beat them up.
Yeah,
out of nowhere. We're just going to beat them up. Oh, and by the way, speaking of our using people twice in bad ways, Fandango and Ryback.
Yeah.
Just, guys, you were just in matches. This isn't good for you. All of a sudden, it's like, huh, for some reason, Fandango and Curtis Axel and Ryback are all injured. Man,
yeah,
I guess they must be bad, too.
My problem, I only have one problem.
Hmm?
Triple H no-sold that spear.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was one of those things where he had to just get out of the ring immediately. Like, if you think of it that way, think of both Bray Wyatt and Harper not no-selling, but being groggy on some really, finishing moves by the Usos. So, I mean, it happens if the spot calls for it. But
yeah,
I'll let that one pass. But he has a point, which is good. That is true. There was, he could have easily been on the floor after the spear. But, I mean, it would have...
But at least hold your stomach or something, like... Or
Fair enough.
I guess it's just because for me, Trips has been doing this for longer than I've been alive. So I figured that...
I'll say this much. I think at first he did, but we were too busy. See, this is the problem with cameras as well, where, I assume at first he was like, damn, that was a spear. But we were too busy focusing on the shield and the ring, which is obviously what we wanted to see. But at the same time, you jump back to Triple H, it's like, oh, now I have to look strong because pay-per-view.
Some of the cameras were shit tonight. I mean, one of the ones I hated, and I don't know about you guys, because, we'll get your comment on this standing before we cut you off. During the match with Cena and the six-man tag with the Wyatts and Cena and the Usos, the camera guy decides to zoom in on Cena's face when he's about to do Sister Abigail, and Cena looks perfectly aware, and that kind of bothered me.
What I think happened was, I believe what I saw there, Bray was outside the ring, and I think he may have accidentally hit the camera guy, because it looked like something was shaking.
Wow.
Okay. Daniel Bryan supporters. So I think that might have been what happened, where it was just like, uh-oh, because I've noticed, I think maybe because of the excess of cords, a lot of camera people are tripping nowadays.
Wow, what? I didn't even see the Cena Wyatt match either.
Oh, well, you were spared that, at least. It was an okay match. I'll say that much. I mean, you should watch it again somehow, but,
I have DVR, so something okay.
Yeah, but anyway, thank you for calling in, Danny. Definitely keep on calling in, and, again, just, happy to have you.
Check you later, man.
All right. So, if anyone else wants to call in, the number is 718-664-9468. Again, the number is 718-664-9468. And definitely like us on Facebook, because we will keep on updating you on, shows like this. And, I mean, obviously our Monday Night Raw is always going to happen, but there are many other shows during the week that you may not even know topics that we're interested in, and that you can definitely just like our Facebook page, Those Guys on the Radio, via the URL, searching it up on Facebook, search up Those Guys, and you will find us.
Right, and now in the meantime, if anyone want to call in, get on those phones, dial in. We're going to tackle the rest of Raw, which is basically everything but the Daniel Bryan injury at this point.
Yes, everything
but. So let's go for it.
Yes, so it'll be quick, but the beginning Shield Evolution segment, I like the end. It was obvious, I like the end. I was worried about Reigns because he had this look on his face like he was going to have the seizure, but he stopped.
Wait, you didn't like the opening? I didn't hear you well.
I liked the opening.
The end of the opening,
the whole, we ambushed them. I liked it, but it was obviously predictable. Right?
But I thought that was cool, right?
I mean, it was aggressors. Oh, yeah. What made me nervous was Reigns pacing back and forth, and then Rollins going, you have something to say, big guy, because I was extremely nervous that he was going to have this seizure again. The seizure being what happened at Extreme Rules, which now is available on the network till the end of time, or until WWE goes bankrupt.
And they keep
bankrupt,
playing it every 3 seconds as live programming. At any given time, you can go on, and it's just Extreme Rules 2014. Thank you, guys. But
yes. No, I like that being played once, but after a while, yes, it is a bit, you know, it's a guy.
No, it's just funny because it's Extreme Rules 2014. What's next? Oh, the pre-show. Oh, it's Extreme Rules 2014 again.
Yes.
Good programming,
yes.
Guys.
Yes.
One of my few criticisms of the network. But, yeah,
but,
I just it's weird to me, and I don't know if you disagree, but the opening promo felt kind of lackadaisical to me.
Do tell. Explain.
Like, did you, I don't know, I just wasn't, like, it didn't feel that strong to me. Like, I thought it was cool,
yeah,
and I bought into it because it was the Shield, but
it reminded me of that Bray Wyatt promo that I didn't dislike, but, you know, at the beginning from, like, last week's Raw, where in the beginning I was just kind of like, yeah.
Yeah. You know, like, I liked the climax of it by them ambushing Evolution, but in the beginning I was like, okay, this is cool, but it's not, like, what I love about them.
Yeah, I believe that, you know, certain people are being told to do certain things, and I think that is just what is kind of, you know, I mean, not saying that everyone has to have their A-game every night, but with the Shield and the Wyatts, those are people who usually have their A-game, so if they don't, it just, like I, you know, like I mentioned last week, it just makes me feel as if it's a CM Punk situation, where it's just someone who may not be super happy with what they're currently doing, only in that exact moment, though. I'm not saying that we're going to have the Shield and the Wyatts just, you know, bounce, you know, jump from WWE, but yeah. So that's what I feel. Because, yeah, Dean having to make sense in a way, he was like, yeah, you know, here's what we're going to do. It just didn't seem as if he was really into it as he usually
is. Yeah, because these guys kind of played, like, physically, they play great as faces, but promo-wise, I think they're kind
of
cooler as heels.
Oh, of
and
course.
As we grow older, you know, we kind of fade off to thinking, like, heels are cooler naturally. Like, of course, I loved heel punk more than I like face punk, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. But
then,
of course, there's just some people where it's just, you know, I mean, you have, you know, I mean, Daniel Bryan, I think, you know, if you let him on the mic more, can be, you know, is a great face. And then even Big E, give him some more, time.
Oh,
great.
God, don't start me on the Big E thing, because we'll get there, and I'm going to be pissed.
Honestly, not as pissed, but we'll get there. Okay, so.
You will be pissed.
Maybe I will.
I'll get you hyped,
Swagger.
Matt, and you'll stay hyped. RVD versus Swagger.
One thing that people may not have thought about. I love JBL for many reasons. He made references to both Citizen Kane and the Gobbledygooker in the span of 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah, no, the Citizen Kane one had me smiling, because I was like, oh, JBL!
Yeah.
Busting knowledge, bro.
And what's better is that he popped it out from a Michael Cole mistake. One of the things where it makes me think, why aren't you running the show again? Not that Michael Cole's bad at his job completely, but still, like, why aren't you running the show?
No, but just, seriously, we've been saying Rosebud for so fucking long. Obviously, they're trying to get Cole to put him over. Don't be a rose petal. What?
Yeah.
What?
I'm sorry.
Like,
what's going on here?
It's like Rosebud, like, frick, come on. It pissed me off so much.
No, it's the one thing, the reason why it's so upsetting, too, it's not even in my notes, now that we're going on an actual tangent, the reason why it's so upsetting, too, is because, you know, back in the day, right, I mean, heck, Damian Sandow had a run as Idol Stevens in 2006. And I'm
interested to mention that.
Because on the WWE Network, you can see him fight in a tag team match for the titles at No Mercy 2006.
Yeah, Idol Stevens and Casey James?
Yes, I believe so. Yes, with Michelle McCool as their manager.
Right.
Still, I bring it up only because, you know, back then it's like, all right, you get Idol Stevens' name wrong, okay, no one's going to, I mean, maybe the fans on the internet will, like us, but certain people won't really jump on you as much. There's a network that has NXT. There's Hulu that has NXT. I know Michael Cole has done his research, and it just slipped his mind because I'm sure he's overworked with both freaking Raw and SmackDown to do as well. But I still would like to say that, you know, there's a network now. There's NXT on it.
Yeah.
People
I'll
can
laugh
see
it off
that
because,
stuff.
Hey, everyone makes slips, you know?
Of course,
but
of course.
It's funny to me because this is the one guy, one of two guys. We've had promos promoting him for 4 or so weeks.
We've heard
Rosebud for so fucking long, but how? It's just like, how did you mutilate that on purpose?
I'm wondering if he did. I'm wondering if he did as a joke.
Everyone makes slips.
Setting. No,
but,
and he probably was a joke. But,
did you like
the
segment? Because I thought that was done well.
Very well. I want RVD to join Exotic Express.
I thought he would.
Fan. Yeah, no, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised because I am a huge fan of something that sadly the WWE has not really done recently, which is making it feel as if some of these stables are organic instead of doing, like, I'm not saying the Shield wasn't organic, but what I am saying is I didn't watch NXT, I didn't see these guys form, so when they came to Raw, same thing with the Wyatts, they were already established, which is obviously really good, but at the same time, it would be nice to just kind of have something where maybe the Wyatt, you know, the Wyatts gain a new member, an actual new member, not some, you know, Daniel Bryan thing, an actual new member. Or Adam Rose starts to get a little cute little following of, you know, people who just want to be Rosebuds.
You know
what's, that would
what's
be
funny
very
on that? And I'm going to touch on NXT
right.
once before we push on.
Okay.
Last week, not this, the week before last week, 2 weeks ago on NXT.
Right.
Camacho attacked, like, the whole, you know, he blindsided, like, the Exotic Express group. At,
yeah.
The Rose Party, as they say, and mm-hmm. knocked out one of his entourage members. And mm-hmm. so the natural thing would have been like, hey, let's just throw Rose against Camacho, right? Because
right.
No, they took that specific member of the entourage and had him fight Camacho.
That's very interesting.
Which was fun. And then he got beat because he wasn't really, you know, he's not Adam Rose. He's not the big fighter guy. He was
right,
Captain
right.
Comic, by the way, who hailed from Comic-Con for you. That was for you, really.
That was for me.
But
I should start watching NXT.
Yeah, no, and then on NXT, by the way, we had Hail Hydra Science and JTG or We Riot. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
I know
yes.
that means you're listening. Because seriously,
yeah, that
JTG or We Riot, that is straight out of our show. It has to be. But no, yeah. I thought that was cool. So it's like I think they can do little things where the entourage can be played into stories where, you know, like – there's a mix of females and males in there. Things could happen. So I think it'll be fun. And I agree with you on it being organic because if a random person comes up and wants to join the entourage, Adam Rose has got himself a fun little thing going on. And then they become a tag team because Rose picks up one of the guys from his entourage and they're fighting. And that's fun.
Exactly. And that would be a great role for RVD, I think, because we can have RVD put over a talent now by being in a tag team with him. I think that's something very interesting.
And
I know
that works so well for them.
I mean, they've technically done that with Mark Henry, with Big E, or tried to at least. But I think it would be nice in a way where, you know, usually RVD and guys like RVD and Jericho are just used as, you know, all right, you beat them, you get the cred. Now it's just, no, you tag with them, you get that cred, and then you just, you know, I mean, they're partiers. I mean, RVD joining that group would be the most natural thing in the world.
No, it'd be fun because RVD and Rose can tag team for a bit. Boom, face tag team with guys who can work, entertaining, fun-loving people. We can make as many weed jokes as we want because he's joining a party.
And if they become tag team champions, I would be perfectly okay with that.
That would
honestly.
Be fun. Because,
tag
team stories. But, yeah, I like the Rose Swagger thing now a bit more than I did last week. I still think they could have done better with it. But, hey, it is what it is now. I'll take it. Rose is hopefully going to go over.
Well, what I assume is maybe because he's older, they're just a bit worried about how he might work against someone like, you know, Swagger. I mean, Swagger could possibly kill – Swagger can kill anyone by accident, so I'm a bit worried about Rose.
Probably
Rusev
can, too. He may have been the one that aggravated Daniel Bryan's injury.
What?
Yeah.
That was humor, wasn't it?
No. We'll talk about that at another venture when we have facts to prove that.
Okay, thank you. But anyway, what was it? Yes, so before we move on to anything else, moving to Paige, I would like to mention that I loved King's almost going out with all the divas joke because it is him acknowledging that they don't like him very much. Because
that was okay.
Because some of his jokes, people harp on them for being very sexist, and both you and I agree. But in this case, I think he's getting into this old man role very nicely where he'll say things like, oh, yeah, I almost went out with all the divas this week. And they're like, really? He goes, yeah, on Monday I asked and I almost got one. On Tuesday, you know, it's like, okay,
no,
a good joke.
I just think it's just a broken clock is right twice a day. And you know what? That was one of your good ones, Lola. I'll give you that.
Exactly.
But, yeah, Paige, my queen, lovable woman, weird match, but fun after segment, I guess.
Definitely. No, definitely. And, you know, and we move past the Daniel Bryan segment with tears. Although I have to say, some of my tears were tears of joy. So that's what it feels like to be John Cena. Makes me love this man so, so much, especially because Daniel Bryan can say something like that, right, and not be demoted. Because he's his brother-in-law.
Yes. No.
So,
this is the John Cena life.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like, fine. You win this round, Daniel Bryan.
Well, there was one guy, though, that was pissed off and had to boo him for most of the segment. I think it was based on that exact joke.
Oh, I just hate that. I'm going to have neck surgery. Boo! Shut up!
Yeah.
Oh, my God. There was one girl, by the way, high-pitched, that kept screaming, I want to murder her.
That was during the Cena and Usos Wise Match. I only noticed it when you mentioned it, and then I had a laugh, only because I really assumed you were going to kill her. You were just looking up information. Like, who is this person? Can I find her? I want to kill her.
But moving past that sad segment.
Yes. So, and we move past the Cena Usos Wise Match because... I mean, we really mentioned all we really had to. I mean, what I will mention, if you want to, you know, talk to me about this, I do think Cena needed the win. I know he's John Cena no matter what, but I mean, in the sense of this specific feud, it just feels like Bray is always winning. So I just felt as if when Bray was going to come out, someone on that team has to lose because it feels as if they are always getting the win from someone somewhere. So.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say I was happy with Cena getting the win this time because it makes things seem a bit more even for Payback. Because when you have a guy win all the time and then it's like, well, then who's going to win at Payback? Cena has lost repeatedly. That's very, very, very unnerving.
Yeah, I'm going to be just honest with you here. I mean, I kind of zoned out a bit on the match because I was still kind of in my Daniel Bryan freakout session.
Which is why that was a terrible thing to do. The match was not that
crazy technically. I mean, the finish was cool with the super kicks and all
that kind of stuff.
And I mean, it was cool and it made
fresh
sense.
Air.
That
was an Undertaker.
It just happened.
Yeah. No, that was Undertaker losing at WrestleMania right there. It was just, I mean, I understand why they didn't want it to be the main event. There's no reason. You know, when you have the Shield Evolution, I understand, but... If it happened before Shield and Evolution, I mean, people are already going to tune out of Batista and Reigns anyway because of Batista a bit. And, you know, so I think it would have been a great, segment before
I will say, on that note, because you just mentioned it, it's nice that Cena's not in the main event 24/7 anymore.
It's confusing. Yeah, it's confusing, I will admit, because I don't know about you. The second it's like, this is the match, it's coming on later tonight. I went, oh, cool, that's our main event.
I think so too normally, but it's not like, and the Wyatts get pretty high booking too, so it's pretty, I'll take it.
Yeah, so, and you know, we move forward, Triple H was great in his little evolutions, before even moving to the evolution segment, I would like to mention that, and this is going to sound very weird out of context, but if we just, you know, I still want to say this, Bray Wyatt can appear in my house butt naked, and yet the scariest thing in the world would be him thanking John Cena. When Bray Wyatt thanks you for something, you run.
Yeah. No, John Cena smiled because it's like, this guy's crazy. But in my head, I was like, that was scary. Because you got beat down. It's like, I want to thank you, John. I'm like, pray. I don't ever want your thanks, bro. Take me forever. Please.
Please. Yes. All right. So, evolution segment. All I have to say is Triple H is still great at what he does. You know, I mean, he really brought something there that is really needed.
I guess my comment on it is very simply, I like that they're trying very hard to parallel the Shield and Evolution. You know, you've got Batista pacing in the ring because Reigns is pacing in the ring. I'm just like, that's cool. That's subtle.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that because we've got the Shield as the newer, younger, better at the moment, you know, Evolution. And it's kind of cool. I like it.
Yes. A few little things about Nikki and Natalya. I think that, you know, well, obviously we mentioned before, two Divas matches tonight, great. While
awesome.
It's upsetting
thumbs
that Nikki
up. After
won.
After 1-0 last week?
Yeah. Well, it's upsetting that, and of course we have to, you know, really, you know, drive it home, that Paige was on Superstars. Superstars is, you know, filmed in the same block that Monday Night Raw is aired live. Therefore, obviously, usually you're not going to have the same person on both episodes. It can happen, usually with Main Event and SmackDown, sadly, because Main Event is live Tuesday and then filmed for Friday, which is upsetting, but that does happen. But I assume in this case, because I don't even know when Superstars is released, sadly, but I can tell you for sure that they wouldn't, you know, have them double up usually. It can happen, but usually Superstars is really the show where it's meant for people who, you know, are a bit lower on the card or for some reason Paige. I don't know why.
Yeah, for some reason.
But anyway,
two Divas matches, and Natalya wasn't farting, but she got stuck with really weird, like, bad painter gimmick. Is that her thing now?
No. Honestly, I would have taken the painting. I think it looked great. But then again, I don't know much about art. But what I will say, as I said before, it's very smart to incorporate Total Divas into this because I mentioned this as a joke on the actual Total Divas podcast we did with myself and one of our gals, Ashley Colpan, who comes on. And I feel as if that, the joke I made with her, by the way, was, oh, you're Natty, you're going to complain about your husband TJ's family? Good luck when they see it 6 months from now, right? That's basically how I feel about this segment where Natty, whatever, I didn't see the episode, sadly, so maybe she did know during the episode that they didn't like the painting. But it could have just been some simple ragging that she never heard of because it was just done in front of the cameras in their own respective homes. And then 6 months later, when it actually gets aired and Raw comes on, she sees the episode and hilarity ensues, and then a match. And I like that it was a match between two faces. I think that was a nice little thing there. Because
Natalia's a heel now because she's a bad painter. Because we all know
not even Nikki or Brie or whichever one. I can't even remember which one was in the ring. That's a bit upsetting.
Not insulting a thoughtful attempt at a gift from a friend, but being bad at what you do and making an attempt to make somebody happy makes you a heel.
Clearly.
WWE. Rainbow.
Yes, right?
I know.
The match was nice, though. I'm half joking with the heel thing.
Did we skip over the Sheamus thing, or are we getting to that now?
Because we're getting to that now. No, we're getting to that now. Don't you worry. But again, good match, actually. I mean, for the fact there were two deepest matches on the card, and neither of them made me think, oh, this is terrible. It was actually really interesting. I really enjoyed it. Sheamus versus Curtis Axel. I love the rock, paper, scissors thing that Curtis and Ryback did. That was wonderful.
And then they flipped coins.
Things like that are what they need to be doing forever. Also, because it's a really fun thing.
Heads you win, tails I lose.
Heads you win. Yes.
I said it completely backwards, and I love
it. But it works. Okay, so I don't like that Sheamus beat them both. And obviously he was going to. I mean, obviously. But it was just upsetting because they've been built up. Like, they actually have built up Ryback and Curtis Axel for a while now. And now it's a feeling of, well, how can you fight two people, especially the Usos, if you want to put them, against, actual, I'm not saying that Sheamus needs to beat up 3MB because that's not good for either 3MB or for Sheamus, really. But it's, so it's like, it's a great way to build up Sheamus, but I think it was just very upsetting to build up. And yes, they gave Axel the quick tap and then kind of put a longer match on Ryback. So it doesn't make them look that bad.
I think it does, man.
But that's really the issue.
It still made them look bad.
Because
I was beginning to, appreciate their momentum and what was going on for them. And here's the thing that's just suckerish about me. Sheamus kept the hold on Curtis, and Ryback's like, hey, man, that's my tag team partner. The companionship there, the brotherhood that was being shown. In the match, I found myself cheering for Ryback. Ryback was, it's not like he was, Curtis was being assaulted or something.
But in my head,
it was just, Ryback should win, man. He was, and logically, he should have won, too, because it was the second match in a row. So when he picked up the shell shock, I'm like, yes, no,
I was hoping that there would have been, even though I knew this wasn't going to happen, sadly, because of, Sheamus' current win with the title, I was hoping, though, that they would have a disqualification or just something that would make you think, oh, he didn't lose, but he didn't win, so it's okay.
Yeah, I mean, it made them look pretty weak. Sheamus didn't need the extra push. I don't know. That being said,
European tour, right?
Yeah,
but anyway, Ziggler versus Fandango. I want to put it out quickly. Ziggler versus Fandango. It was actually a good match, and it makes me love. And the segment after made me love Fandango so much more.
I don't know if he's a heel or a face now. I don't know what the fuck is going on.
I don't know either, but I think it's great. Either way, because people are just...
And the commentary doesn't help, because JBL was screaming at the top
I know. I hate JBL. I thought it was actually kind of funny.
I didn't know whether... I didn't know whether I'm supposed to think he's a heel now or a face.
And that's the problem with almost every... You'll sit there and think, are the Matadors heels or faces? Because JBL loves...
I love Torito. And it's like... but their faces. You're supposed to say these guys are cheap and gimmicky and stupid, or
and
call
then,
animal
and then,
control.
And then eventually, and then he does say that. He'll be like, call animal control 1 week, because maybe then that week Vince or whoever is in, on the mic will say, you know, behind them via the earpiece will say, hey, no, you have to say this. By the way, I really enjoyed the Duggan versus, you know, versus Rusev. Yes, Duggan fought Rusev. Because here's the thing. Let's go in order before we get to Big E. I just love how confident Lana sounds on the mic now. I mean, she was great when they showed the pre-filmed promos, like a long time ago. But when she first came out, she just felt a bit unpolished, you know, live. But I'm just so happy that she's just able to, like, revel in this, where it feels as if she's, like, it feels as if, you know, she owns the audience, you know? Like, it feels as if everyone there was a plant, you know? Like, as if they are just one with her. It was very interesting to see.
Okay, so I'll give you that much. I don't disagree with that. You're right. She did sound pretty confident. I just thought her promo was lackluster because you gave her one or two more lines and it would have made more sense to me. You know, because it just sounded like, China is good economy and that's why Rusev is from Russia. I'm like, what?
Ah, fair enough.
You get
fair
me?
Enough. I just,
so it was
fair
weird
enough,
because
fair enough,
there
enough
are things you could say where you can say, oh, there's a socialist, there's a communist kind of connection there. Or B, you can just say, Rusev is glad to be from Russia because it makes him not from here and here sucks. You know, little things
fair
like
enough
that,
fair enough,
that
fair
would
enough
have connected that. But
yes,
in
yes,
terms
yes,
of
yes,
delivery,
yes,
you are on point. She
that's
does sound
why
more confident.
I just cared about
she
her delivery.
She looks
yeah
very confident and powerful when she speaks, and I like
oh, yeah
that. So I'll give her that much. But go on, because I am very upset about part of the segment. So.
Oh, yes. When Rusev broke the 2x4 in half, I screamed, no!
Aloud. That was cool. That was cool.
And then
Axel sold his fear.
Yes, and then I gasped audibly when Big E came out, I have to say, because I was like, because I was worried that they weren't going to have both Big E and Barrett on this card, which was going to be very upsetting because I say brand split over and over again. But here we are, two very, you know, guys who are good at what they do. One of them is that, you know, that whole Intercontinental Champion kind of thing. And he isn't on the card tonight.
Mm-hmm.
We'll find out by next week that he was on Superstars, you know, most likely. But anyway, so...
No, but so it doesn't
though,
bother you?
What?
Big E.
Actually, okay, here's why it doesn't bother me. Well, here's the thing. The match will bother me. The eventual match may bother me. But what matters is this. What they've used jobbers to job to, you know, to help Rusev look tough. But none of them were big guys. I mean, technically they had muscle, yes. But none of them were big guys. So in my opinion, in my eyes, if they make this match look like a really good, long, maybe like, you know, 10-minute, 15-minute match in a way that can either help Rusev either elevate himself or maybe even lose in a way where it's just, this is Rusev's first loss, but now it becomes an actual storyline where it's just, you know, Big E is from, you know, where Lana just started talking about where he's from and why it's so terrible compared to where, you know, Rusev is from. And they pick a town, in, you know, a place in Russia and then start to expand on that. It can become an actual storyline. I know WWE forgets that they can make money. But if they do this correctly, whether, you know, I don't think Big E has too much to lose, sadly. And I think if done well, even if Rusev loses, he's not losing too much. I think that this is good if only because both guys are big. So it promotes, it's a way to promote, like, hey, big guy versus big guy. Like, you know, instead of, oh, it's, you know, because it wasn't it upsetting? It's like, oh, my God, Rusev, he just came in, and he just destroyed Zack Ryder. He came in, and he just took Zack Ryder. And then, you know, he made Zack Ryder lose. It was the biggest upset. Yeah.
So, here's my shtick with this, because...
Okay.
If Rusev doesn't come out the loser at the end of this, which will be a pay-per-view match...
Right.
I'm going to be pretty upset, and it's based off one single thing. If you remember earlier in the week on Cage Side, and on Twitter, rather, because it was mentioned on Cage Side, Big E tweeted out something noting the color of the people that were being fed to Rusev.
Aha! Fair enough.
And here is my issue, as it presents itself within that statement.
Yes.
Xavier Woods, R-Truth, and Kofi Kingston have all been fed to and destroyed by Rusev. Now we've got Big E. And if they're using this to punish Big E, that's really bad. If they were going to do this anyway, that's still really bad. And three, seriously, guys, come on, handle your superstars better. Because if Biggie goes over, that's cool. Because Rusev is really not that, I don't think he's garnering as much heat or attention as people want him to. You know, I think Lana's doing it, and that's great. Because, you know, mouthpiece for people like Rusev, right?
Right.
But I don't think he's garnering as much interest as people would expect him to. That being said, Biggie had personality.
Yeah.
He was a draw for a bit. This is a guy that if you feed him to Rusev, not only is that really just a waste of time for Biggie. I mean, yay, he has a story. That's nice. But you're also putting him over another black guy. That looks kind of bad. It looks really
bad.
And I'm giving an assist to Maddie for pointing this out again because we got into a mini discussion
about it. Yes, thank you, Maddie. I didn't actually realize that. Thank you, Maddie. What I would like to mention is I have a strange feeling that this was going to happen, and possibly Big E just, you know, was talking to a friend of his, and he said, well, what do I do if I see this happening? Like, what should I do? What should I say? And that friend was Dolph Ziggler, and he was like, be passive-aggressive on Twitter.
I don't know.
I have
look,
the strangest feeling.
Russo
no, I'm being
goes
serious.
Over, man?
I'm going to feel
a little bit uncomfortable. That's all
Okay, here's the thing. I'll feel uncomfortable if it's a five-minute squash like we had last time. If it's an actual match where Big E looks tough and gets a point where he may even do his finisher on him, then that's a lot better than what we've recently had.
I'll take that, but I don't know if Rusev can do that kind of work.
That's I think, one of the biggest issues, where if he can't perform that well at this point, then, you know, why was he given the push anyway? Which is, that's the one thing that'll be upsetting, because if for some reason, you know, they actually see, like, wait a minute, this Rusev guy actually isn't getting that much attention, you know. Oh, well, it's fine. Let's bring him back to NXT. Let's just, you know, give him another game.
Yeah, I mean, over a guy like Bo Dallas, who cut another fun promo tonight, did not debut, unfortunately.
No, but we'll
be waiting on it. We are always waiting on it here.
But I bring this up, but again, just to finish that point, just, oh, let's bring him back to NXT. It didn't affect anyone. Sir, we jobbed him out to many, many people, most of them being minorities, except for Zack Ryder. But then again, no one really counts him as human anyway.
Hey, man, I just like that if JTG actually wrestled and JTG was jobbed out in place of Zack Ryder, that would be really racist.
That would have been terrible.
To be my hero.
It continues to be Batman. I assume that's what he does with his time.
I'm saluting you right now, JTG.
Yeah.
You can't see me, but I am. But yeah, moving on.
Yeah. So quickly moving forward, just to be quick about it, Sandow segment, this will be the final
one. Let him talk.
Yeah. What I did like at first was that I did like that they were using Sandow's losing streak against him, but then the ending was terrible because, you know, okay, both men needed the win, so it's very hard to choose which one wins because, yes, both men needed the win. However,
but Cody's in an actual storyline, so.
That's the thing. The scales tipped when Cody's in a storyline, which means that you make Cody lose to then push Goldust and be angry, to then have Goldust say, Cody, and then slap him, and then all of a sudden,
yeah, you're
in a storyline.
Yeah, you're on the fence with me here, because you want heel Goldust and face Cody, but
we're not going to get heel Cody. But again, regardless, it's a story that will end because I've heard some people say, oh, yeah, we need this to be slow until SummerSlam. And I disagree completely because we've already had what was once, you know, that slow buildup to WrestleMania that never happened. And then it went away. And then all of a sudden, it's coming back now, and it's going to be slow. We're not
and
going
now
to
they
have it at payback.
Nothing. Now they have nothing. And I feel for them, because they're both entertaining performers in their own way. And so is Sandow, for the record. I love him. He got a pipe bomb on the pre-show to Raw. Poor guy.
Yeah. No, because the thing is, you know, and it sucks, because I only brought him up again as Idol Stevens, because it's funny in a way, where it's just he had his chance, right? He left. He just didn't really want to be involved in that. He wasn't really getting much, you know, whatever. His gimmick changes, right? He switches over to Damian Sandow. And now all of a sudden, he's doing very, very, very good work. But in my opinion, and I know it's only a rumor, this isn't real at all, but my slash joke slash actual reasoning behind people getting deep pushed is that they just, you know, they do very bad things with Stephanie. Not to, with. She likes it. Something has to happen. Someone has to be fraternizing with someone somewhere high on the, you know, on the chain of the ladder to just be like, to have someone who runs the company go, no, you're down, no. Because the pushes are just so random. I really feel like they're randomized by the computer. Because out of nowhere, you'll just have one of the pushes just, no, just Sandow doesn't need to have any wins. No. Did he do something to anger you? No.
No, he got John Cena'd.
Well,
but I mean, and the last thing to mention of the night, I mean, unless we want to talk about the Shield looking awesome again and looking strong at the end, is the Bray Wyatt promo.
Yes, not too much focus on it. Just, you know, just really happy that he got back to what I believe
his old form,
should be.
Right?
Yeah.
I agree. And a last man standing match with John Cena at Payback. That sounds promising.
It does.
And I don't
it
know
does.
How to feel about the outcome.
Yeah, I mean, what I think if they're booking it the way they booked it before, we may have an issue of Harper and Rowan picking up Bray.
Not even that's not what I was thinking. I was literally thinking they get involved in the match and they completely thrash Cena as a 3-on-1, and he still wins, because that would be the ultimate Wyatt burial.
Actually, yes, that would be burying the Wyatts. I mean, to the point where it may have been, that should be the buried alive match. And,
and it will be buried alive.
It will be.
If Cena wins. And if he
if
doesn't,
Cena wins,
then I may have to compliment John Cena for one of the few times in my life.
Also, I would say if John Cena wins, but Bray is the bigger man who tells his men to back off, acceptable in my opinion.
That would also be... That would be slightly less hurtful, but it would still upset me.
No, fair enough. But compared to what you're saying, which could be a possibility, I'd be happier with that. So,
of course.
Now we end the show. But before we end the show, I would just like to get a little real with you guys. The reason why there was, a show yesterday was canceled. I canceled one of our, This Week in Comics shows with my guest co-host Anthony Sanandris because. My father passed, and, I loved him. I mean, he and I had our differences. I just wanted to take this time to kind of pay tribute to that, with a little anecdote and then some music. I just wanted to say that, my dad wasn't really a big wrestling fan. I mean, he knew that it existed. It was there. But there was this one time where he took me to one of these live shows, and this was back in 2006 when I was really into wrestling before I I broke away because of that John Cena guy winning everything. And at the show, it was kind of funny. We sat down. We saw Mickey James versus Trish Stratus. They came out, and he looked at me and he said, "Hey, those girls are hot." And I looked at him, and I agreed. Because they were. They still are. And Mickey James pregnant with her baby now, actually. They were very good in the ring, too. And then they left. I forgot who won the match. It was so long ago, but it was a good match. And then you have DX come out, and this was the new DX with, Triple H and Shawn. And they come out, and, Triple H does his promo, and he says, "All right, let's get ready to suck it." And then me and everyone around me, does the DX cross chops. And then my dad's confused, and he looks at us, and then he does them. Just delayed. I was like, "Oh, Dad," and I didn't say that to him, but I thought it. It's funny. And then the main event was John Cena in a 6-man tag match against someone, probably Randy Orton. I tuned out at that point. It was John Cena. I was 15 years old. Do the math. But despite our differences, he was very important in my life, and he wanted to support us. He wanted to help us, and he really believed in me. And when sometimes I didn't believe in myself, and I just wanted to end the show. He was a Marine at one point, could probably kill John Cena if he wanted to. One time actually, he told me he met John Cena. He said, "Matt, I saw John Cena coming out of the diner." I said, "Oh, what'd you do?" He said, "I shook his hand." Sadly, I lost a bit of respect for my dad that day, but still, though, he was a great man. And, again, used to be a Marine, and I would like to play this song to honor him. I would like to thank you guys for listening to those guys. And, again, just, thank you for listening. And looking for the song. Sadly, Blog Talk Radio is trying to...
Yeah, I mean, thank you for Daniel Bryan with me tonight, man. Because, it means a lot. And... Yeah,
and,
to echo Matt's sentiments, thank you guys for listening. And
okay. Love you guys.